Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore once again bringing you your online Bible scoop with Grace Institute. And we'll be sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. And at the end of this lesson, also, it will be uploaded to our podcast, which is Grace Institute Online Bible School, which is you could subscribe to in any your format, whether it be Apple or whether you have an Android phone. We're on all the major podcasts, and you can just subscribe to Grace Institute Online Bible School or The Favor Church. Both of those are mine in the name of Jesus. And if you desire to subscribe to that, you can, you know, feed on the Word of God, gain more understanding by hearing over and over. The scripture says, so then faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So every time you are hearing the Word of God, guess what's happening? Faith is coming for what it is that you're listening to. And so, and that's important to us because why? We live in a world that is fallen. A world that is not up to the standard the way God created it. But we having this spirit of proof, this spirit of truth on the inside of us, we are able to call those things that be not as though they were. That's why we have what we call the faith of Christ. It's not our faith. It's Galatians 2:20 said, I am crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not I that live it, but it is Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we have the faith of Christ, the faith of God, to do what? To overcome every obstacle. Every situation that we have, that we can be encountered with, we just got to know what the Word of God says about it, and then we act on that word, whether you feel it or not. Because most of the time, in a when you're in a pickle situation, you know, I just don't feel like, you know, God heard me. I don't feel like my prayers went anywhere. Well, that's what the enemy wants you and I to do. He wants to entrap us in a feeling God. God is not a feeling God. God is a God that is of the spirit. He's a spirit. And they that worship him, we do it in spirit and in truth. There are times we do feel the chill bumps. We do feel the presence, but that's that anointing of that presence, of that spirit that lives on the inside of us. But we don't live by the feeling, we live by the word. So if God's word said it, then we have to believe it. And by believing on it, we act. Faith is an act, amen? You're not acting because of any, you know, intellectual purposes, but you're acting on something you can't see. So it take all your intellect away. It take all your natural understanding away. Why? Because in the natural, I can see, you know, my hand, or I can feel the wind, or I can see the circumstances of things that's coming against me. But when we say walk in the spirit, means to live by the word of God, well, you can't see with your natural eyes. But if you notice the realm that we live in, even wherever you are at the moment, if you're at home or if you're driving, well, those things were not made by things that were seen. Everything, your home, the wood, the brick, the cement, whatever it is, it was all made out of the Word of God. It was made out of the earth. God called those things that be not as though they were. That would give you and I the evidence or the confidence the assurance of calling those things that be not as though they were. You know, he said, "What, like what? You call your finances. You say that I am blessed with all spiritual blessing. I am the seed of Abraham and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ." So what do you, what does that mean? That means that God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That means it's not here physically in my hand per se, but in the realm of the spirit through the word of God, I take the authority that has been given to me, and then he releases the ability of that authority that I'm releasing, and it causes money to come. It causes favor to show up. It causes doors to open that in myself, I don't know how it, you know, it could happen. But through his word, when we act on his word, we don't have to know. All we have to do is know the characteristic of our God. Amen. And understand that he has a purpose for us to be here. And as we seek him on a daily basis, as we walk with him every day, then he's always doing what? Downloading inside of us truths, understanding, so that we will not be left as an offering out here by ourselves. And that's what the Holy Spirit is for. And we're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He is here to assist. He is here to guide. He is here to lead us, to make intercession on our behalf. He's here to stand alongside of us when there's no one or nothing else will. And you have that inner strength. And that's the reason why the scripture said in Ephesians 1:17 that the eyes of, we pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that notice this, that you may receive wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding, not my natural eyes, but the eyes of your understanding, your perception of what you hear of the truth of God's word, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Enlightened means that whereas you can comprehend what is said, comprehend what you hear, and then you are able to act accordingly because the eyes of your understanding has been enlightened. And when and notice it, it's the power of the Holy Ghost that enlightens your understanding. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that brings what? The revelation of the truth of the thing that you embrace. Remember, faith come by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith is coming towards you right now as you hear the word of God, as we talk about the gifts of the Spirit or the power of the Spirit. Amen. So having said that, let's make our faith confession. Let's say it out loud once again. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So good morning to you once again. Let's go back over here. We've been talking about the difference between our prayer language and the gift of tongues. I think we have shared with you about that, that you can, it's going to, you know, no matter how much we teach on it, how we teach on it, it's going to take the Holy Spirit to do what? To give you light on it. But I can give you the correct information from the best of my ability so that the Holy, you give the Holy Spirit something to work with. And so as we move on in these manifestations, we want to talk about a little bit about prophecy because, you know, when one prophesies, just think about it, even though if a person, Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 14:3, I think it is, he said, but he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. So we know what prophecy is. Prophecy should do three things in a regular service. It should be, it should edify. It should do what? It should, exhort, and it should bring forth comfort. And so if these three elements are not in the spirit of prophecy, then it is not to be received. Okay? And we're not talking about making something up to sound good, to edify. No, when we talk about to edify, you know, it's going to come from the Word of God. To edify is to build you up. Well, it's building up the life that Christ have already laid down for you. So when we say edify, it's edifying you to do what? To know that, no, we have our move, our way in Him. In Him we move. Amen? And it's in Him we have our way. So it's not like my edification is for me to do what I want. No, my edification, it edifies because I chose to walk in the light. I chose to have made Jesus the Lord of my life. So therefore, He's now His life in me. I'm being edified to walk in that truth. I'm being edified to stay steadfast. See? Because there are times in the natural, things not going to always look like they ought to. And someone will try to, you know, edify you, encourage you in the natural through a situation, and you can find no comfort in it, no matter what that person says. But when you and I go to the Word of God, why? Because the Word is true. The Word is God. And there is no crisis that I could be in or that I can be confronted with that the Word cannot edify me. See? That I can't be built up on it. And so it is to edify. Notice this. He said, he that prophesies speaketh not unto, he speaketh unto men to edification and to exhortation. So to exhort means to do what? We exhorting you and I in Christ. If you notice, all the epistles talk about in whom, and in Christ. Why? That's where your exhortation is. That's where your edification is. It is in Christ. You can't be edified or exalted on your own. You know, sometimes, you know, and I understand a Pharisee, you can do anything you set your mind to. You can be anything that you want to be. Well, to a certain extent, that is true, you know, with certain willpower. But, you know, there's a force out here that is demonic. You may set out to be those things or whatnot, but because your soul doesn't really have an anchor, which is the Spirit of God, then you can. You can probably be whatever you want to be, but at what cost? Okay? So my point to you is that if you're going to be edified, if you're going to be exalted, notice that it is in Him. So these gifts is speaking to the believer who have already received Christ, who have already been filled with the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now remember, seven of these nine gifts, they can function whether you are filled with the Spirit of God or not. Because we proved that in the old covenant, under the Old Testament, they did this. Elisha, Joshua, Moses, all of these Old Testament, King David, all these Old Testament prophets and priests, they operate in seven of these nine gifts. One of them they didn't operate in was the tongues. Right, and the interpretation, but prophecy or whatever, they operated in these. But notice that the Spirit of God had to come up on them for the releasing of that. You and I, the difference between the Old Testament prophet and the New Testament prophets or teachers of the body of Christ that we are, is that we are sons and daughters. Meaning, we inherited all of these manifestations. We inherited the life of God. We inherited the life of Christ when He was raised for our justification. So it's not the Spirit of God coming up on us for a particular act like He did with these under the old covenant. No, It lives inside of us. It resident inside of us. We have the fullness of the Spirit. But now, remember, as we said, the gift of faith, the gift of working of miracles, the gifts of healing. No, I said the gifts of healing, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge. All that. Now, these gifts, even though we possess these manifestations within us, we don't just function in them as we will either. They work as the Spirit will. And notice this, it's not for our edification anyway. It is for a person, you know, someone that may have been injured badly, just gotten born again. They have no way of trusting God's word to heal them. They don't know him in that light. Or you may have a person, you know, that just got born again, or, you know, they love the Lord, but they got found themselves in a situation where they can't find their way out. But through a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, discerning of spirit, God can reveal something to an individual to do what? To supernaturally bring them out at that moment. The same thing about the gifts of healing. The gifts of healing will come up on them, will come up on that person and manifest the healing power of God without their faith at all. But it's the person who's doing the speaking to do what? It is to save them, but they are not to live by that gift. They are to grow in that grace. It was a benefit that was bestowed upon them. We talked about that a little bit. It's a benefit that bestowed upon them while they are still growing in Christ. So it's better to have you alive than dead. It's almost like saying, you know, in this light, you could say, this is what the hospitals are for, doctors are for. You know, until you really learn and understand that you can trust God for your healing. You can trust God through the Holy Spirit for the diagnosis or whatever you're going through. Now, it's not a condemnation because you go to the doctor. Because the doctor can't heal you no way. All they can do is diagnose what is wrong. Are you following what I'm saying? And they can try to help even through surgery or whatnot, try to help take out the cancer, take out this or what that. But your body still has to respond to the healing. And so what is that simply saying? Sometimes your body is incapable of just repairing itself because of whatever the condition is. But when you add the word of Christ on that, see the reason why that sometimes the body is not strong enough, again, we are up under a system here that Satan is the ruler of, not the ruler of the world, but a system. And so because you are born of God, born of the kingdom of God, then you and I have risen above that system whereby we can trust God at his word to do what? What the doctor couldn't do or what my body is too weak to do, I can speak to my body and say, he sent his word, Psalm 107, and he healed me and delivered me from all destruction. Well, if he sent his word, then guess what? I received the word that he sent by faith with his stripes. I'm healed. And then all of a sudden, guess what? My words is working on my body. My belief in Christ, in that gift, is working on in that body. And notice it, it's bringing repair, it's bringing release, it's bringing healing, it's bringing restoration, whatever it is that I have need of. This is as you grow in him, you're able to, what I'm saying, what the gifts would do sporadically, as the Spirit of God wills. In other words, if the gift is not flowing in that light, then guess what? We live by a better promises. By better promises. What is that? By living by the word of God by faith. As I said, Psalm 107, 19 and 20 said, and they cried out unto the Lord, and he heard them. And he sent his word and healed them. Or Exodus 23:15 will say, I will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness and disease away from you. The word take and the word away in the Strong's Concordance, it means to turn off. So that means God has already, under the old covenant, turned sickness and disease off of the old covenant believers, and we get all the blessing and none of the curse. So therefore, it's turned off to you and I. But what do I need to have? I need to have a working knowledge of that truth. I need to have I need to have an understanding that, yes, they diagnosed me with this, but my body has been turned off according to the word of God to all sickness and all disease. And by the stripes of Jesus, I declare I'm healed. And what do? You begin to meditate on healing scriptures. You begin to meditate on financial scriptures, whatever that is that you find yourself confronted by. I'm not saying I do it perfect, but this is what I do. I know I could do better. I can always do better. You can always do better. But my point is to show you this is how it's done. You take the scripture, you meditate on them, you feed on them, until the eyes of your understanding begin to see things and you begin to know things in your heart that your body, that your mind can't even conceive. And this is how it's done. So those gifts of faith, the working of miracles and the word of God, they can work for you and I in some specific form. But again, as I just said, we are better off living by the word itself. Because that's a guarantee. That belongs to you. The gifts of the Spirit is for those, again, is for when the Lord, by the Spirit of God, he releases that. But what if there's no one around that these gifts can function through? Why? Because everyone, notice this, because every one of us that are called by God, not have the confidence to allow the Spirit to work through us, the gift to function through us. Why? Because of fear. You might say the wrong thing. At times you will say the wrong thing because you're growing. It's just like a child. When they're growing up and starting to walk, what happens? They walk a little bit and they fall down, but what? They get right back up. Well, that's what we have. Parents, so-called parents. Well, that's what we have, pastors and maybe an apostle, a prophet, someone in that leads the service or whatnot. They're there to judge it, not to criticize you, but they're there to judge it, to help you and to straighten out anything that was maybe misinformed by accident or whatnot, to help straighten it out so that you can keep moving forward. So you will miss it every now and then. But, you know, hey, we all growing in this grace. Amen. So I hope that you understood that. But again, when he said he that prophesies speaking unto men to edification, again, our edification is based on the word. We're edified through the truth of the word. Your edification is not a natural. You can be edified naturally, you know, husband and wife, or maybe on a job, you know, some edification. But this edification here is dealing with us in the spirit. Why? Because you're dealing with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that wants to strip you, that wants to strip you of your confidence, of your belief, of your stand on the word. It wants you to quit. It's an invisible force that wants to come up on you and begin to just start, you know, messing with you in your mind. And so when you hear the word, a prophecy, or you read the word, what is it doing? It edifies. See? That's why we're supposed to read the word every day, put it on your little iPad, or put it on your phone and listen to it while you drive. And find yourself quoting back certain scriptures back. What are you doing? You're being edified. You're being built up. Why? Because if you look at the forces around you, they're going to tear you down. It's to pull down any hope that you have to make it through this day. Boy, but when you put that Bible on, or you start reading it for yourself, then all of a sudden you're strengthened. You're edified. you exalted. Can you see what I'm saying? So you being edified or being exalted is not from just a physical place. It is from the realm of the spirit of telling you whose you are, and it is strengthening and empowering you to make your stand. Even though there's nothing in this natural realm to support what you have on the inside of you. But you know that you know that you know it will change. Are you listening to me? And so notice this. So the third thing he said, he that prophesies, speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, and then the third part, comfort. And that's what the word will do. It will bring forth comfort. Not a natural comfort, but a comfort of what? When you comfort someone, you know, they've gone through, sometimes you go through a tragedy, or sometimes something bad has taken place. How can you comfort someone? See, when you understand the power of grace, you understand the revelation of your redemption that we have in Christ Jesus, I can comfort somebody. What? I can comfort them with the life of Christ that has already been given, shed for them. Can you see what I'm saying? See, so when we talk about, when Paul said, but he that prophesies, he speaketh unto edification. He that prophesies. So whenever, you know, in whether it be in church, and this is what he's talking about, whether it be in church or whether it be someone that you're out and about with, your prophesying should be, again, three things. It should edify. But again, notice this edification. When you edify someone, we're not talking about from a physical thing or whatnot. We're talking about your edification is who you are in Christ, your comfort, who you are in Christ, your exaltation. It's all of this is coming from in him. That's what these three things would do. Okay? And so, a part of the body of Christ, when we come together in worship, whether you prophesy or whether you speak with the gift of tongue, even with the gifts of tongues, it's still going to bring forth these three things. It should. Okay? And it should be with the scripture. Are you understand what I'm saying? And so here, when these manifestations are in place, this is how the body of Christ can be comforted. This is how the body of Christ can be edified. This is how the body of Christ can be exalted. Why? Because you're walking in service. You may have had a tough day, a tough week, you know, and it's just like, it's not that you're giving up on the faith. It's not that you're giving up on your walk. It just like what food is to your physical body. You're tired, you're exhausted, but when you take a lunch break or you go and eat something, all of a sudden energy comes. You're re-strengthened. Well, that's what the church building is for. Now we the church, but this is the reason why the church, when we come together, everyone should belong to a local physical church body. You know, I mean a good spirit-filled word church, someone that's going to teach you the word of God, that's going to open the scriptures up to you. You can ask questions about the scriptures so that you can get understanding. So when you leave there, you won't leave puzzled. But you can leave there with a confidence. You can leave with an understanding of the life that you are portraying within you. And so this life that you and I have in us, again, you know, when we come together as a body and someone begins to prophesy, well, guess what? The whole prophecy may not belong to you, but you take the part that, man, I needed that. Thank you, Lord, I received that. And you have to know that, remember, in between chapter 12 and chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians is chapter 13, right? It's the love scripture. It's the love chapter. The purpose of that, all these gifts are manifestation function from the love of God. It is functioning, approving God's love toward you and I. So what does he do? He's comforting us because he know what we have gone through. He know the things that hurt us, that kind of shook, rocked our world a little bit. And yet we came to Bible study tonight, or yet you're on this online Bible school feed. And it's like, you know, I'm looking to be strengthened. I'm looking to be encouraged. Well, every time we, you know, the word is taught under the new covenant, under this gospel, this dispensation of grace, that's what it does. This gospel is to do what? It is to teach you and share with you who you are and what you have in him. You know, and then whatever is wrong with you, wrong in your life, whatever you are actively wrong in, when you begin to get built up and understand who you are and what you, and that you are the righteousness of God by faith, then all of a sudden you become awakened to that. And you begin to, the eyes of your understanding and light, you begin to see, man, I need to stop hanging out with them. I need to stop doing that. I need to stop speaking like that. You follow what I'm saying? I'm going to stop dressing like that. Whatever hits you in a manner to where you know that it's the love of God that's speaking to you, then all of a sudden, it's not no one condemning you. It's not no one judging you. It's that love that's springing up in a manner to where I don't need to be hanging out with these people that cut up like this. It's not right. Well, what brought you to that place? It's that love. It didn't condemn you. It didn't tell you to stop. But what it did, it reminded you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit, when you allow the Holy Spirit to be at work within you and I, all of a sudden, again, as the Bible said in Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of your understanding, well, verse 17 say, I pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding, that means your perception of God, will be enlightened. And it's just like inside you just know, no, I'm not going there no more. I'm not going to do that no more. All of a sudden you have this desire, I want to read my Bible more. I want to listen to the word of God more. Well, see, that's the Spirit of God drawing you because you have that yearning. You're more attentive to the yearning of the things of the Spirit. Can you see that? And so I need to go ahead on and get ready. But notice this. Again, he said in verse 3, but he that prophesied, he does what? He speaketh unto men, unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. For those that just tuning in, I'm in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. And he said, but he that speaketh in the unknown tongue, he edifies himself. So, yes, when I pray in other tongue, thank you, Pastor Carl. You know, so when I speak in other tongues or whatnot, what is it doing? I'm edifying myself. Okay, unless I am in a worship service, and again, and a gift of tongues come out. And if a gift of tongues come out, then guess what? I pray that I can interpret that not only with the gift of tongue in that service, but even when I'm praying in tongues, building myself up in my most holy faith. I'm praying that the eyes of my understanding is enlightened. I don't have to pray for the interpretation like as if I was in a worship service. But I can pray that the eyes of my understanding is enlightened to what I'm praying about on the inside of me. And I just go about my business, and all of a sudden I begin to see things. I begin to know things that I did not know before I was praying in the Spirit. So when you and I pray in the Spirit as an individual, and again, every believer, under the tone of my voice, you should be praying in other tongues. You should be filled with the baptism in the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and for no other reason, to build yourself up. But once you start building yourself up, and notice this, and you being strengthened in your inner man, then you're going to start realizing that, hey, just as I'm built up, I see my other sister, my brother over there, they need some encouragement. That's when you allow the Holy Spirit, now the gift of the Spirit, to be at work on the inside of you to do what? To go and comfort them. Bring exhortation to them. Edify them. How do you do that? You're doing it with the Word. You're doing it with who they are in Christ. Everywhere through, that's why I always encourage you, you know, take the book of Acts and go through the book of Acts through Revelation, and you begin to listen to it, feed on it, hear it over and over, and especially through the epistles, you know, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the book of Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, you know, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. These, and you know, and I might want to add James and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. These, all this is what we have in him. So when you start hearing the word of God in that light, now you are able, you're more able to do what? To understand what the scripture means to edify, what the scripture means to comfort. Amen? Take for an example. Even though, and let me just take you over there. Look, go with me to Mark chapter 1. I like this verse of scripture, but I like all of them of the same passage of scripture. But look at Mark chapter 1 and look here at verse 39. Mark 1, 39. And what I'm doing, I'm trying to show you when you know how you will bring forth comfort sometime. Comfort will come, you know, to someone with healing, someone that got a bad report that a condition would never change, or that they have to be isolated, or they have to maybe file for disability because of something took place in their body. And they don't have no hope that this condition can change. You don't want to be in this position, but this is all you can do. This man here was a leper. And notice this. The scripture says right here, and there, verse 30, or verse 41, and there came, verse 40, and there came a leper to him beseeching him. That means, you know, searching for him. See? And kneeling down to him. Notice this, searching for him. One thing about people, when they know that you go to, that you are a spirit-filled, tongue-talking, devil-casting out person, they may laugh at you, they may be a distant, but when something of a crisis take place and it comes to their house, you're going to be the first one they're going to be looking for. Why? Because they know that that authority that you walk in, they say, they seen it from a distance. And now they have need of that power that you and I are walking with. And this is what strengthened their walk. And this is what increases them to say, I need to be filled with the baptism and the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in another tongue. So if something like this come up again, I know how to answer for myself. Well, that's the whole idea. Notice this. It says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him and saying unto him, notice it. He was, first of all, he was a leper. He was already isolated. He was already isolated from being in the public. Number two, it said, there came a leper to him. He was searching for him. What? Why? Because he knew if I was going to be healed, it was going to be through him. Remember, you are in Christ. Jesus is no longer here, but Jesus was here to demonstrate this is the will of the Father. The Father's will was never for no one to live sick, to live afflicted, to live under oppression of demons, and etc. The purpose of the new birth, the purpose of Jesus, God becoming a man and giving himself a name that's above every name. That's what the revelation you ought to have. That name above every name puts you in place to where it will build your confidence. You will be comforted. Yeah, I may have this in my body, but I praise God. I discovered the truth that by his stripes I were healed. And you begin to study the scripture. You begin to meditate on those scriptures until you see yourself walking in the newness of light. You got to fight for it. And sometimes we don't always do that. And that's why we need one another to do what? To help encourage us, to help strengthen us, to help comfort us so that we can get back in the fight. Jesus, you know, even in the garden when he had to, when he knew that his soul was being tormented because of what the devil did to us, our first parent, Jesus now making himself that sin substitute, and the first place that he started receiving the suffering for all of us was through his soul. Because what he had to do, it had to filter through his soul before his spirit would become a plague with my sin. And before he could die physically, he had to be affected in his spirit before his body could be what? Could be made the substitute, the sacrifice. Oh my. And so when Jesus, when he experienced in that garden, you know, he said, Father, if it be your will, you know, let this cup pass from me. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but let yours. And notice it, the angel came along, and Luke is the only one recorded this, I believe, and strengthened him to do what? To continue to do what? To obey the plan that the Father had to redeem us from a crisis where we were. What am I? I'm still talking about the being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm closing with this. And I'm saying this right here. Jesus is illustrating. He said, first of all, I can't teach you like I want because there is so much nugget in these little couple verses right here. The first thing he did, notice this. Well, I can't go back, but he said, there came a leper to him. And notice the first thing he did, beseeching him. And notice the third thing he did. He came kneeling down me. He humbled himself. He's looking for a relief, because if I'm going to be free from this, it's going to come through you. I want you to start seeing yourself like that, because we are the hands, the eyes, and the feet of Jesus. His spirit is in us, but the spirit of God is everywhere. But the spirit of God cannot heal by itself. It need a voice. It need hands. It need feet. And you and I are the carriers of that authority, so that the Spirit of God can release the divine ability to heal, to deliver, to raise the dead. And notice this, he kneeling down to him saying, notice this, faith come, notice this, you can't have faith for the promise with your mouth closed, saying, to unto him, if thy will, thou canst make me clean. He knew Jesus could, but he just didn't know Jesus would. And that's the same thing a lot of people. They know God is a healer, but they don't believe God loved them enough to heal them for whatever reason. And look at Jesus' response. He was moved with compassion. And that's what being filled with the baptism in the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you are filled with God's compassion. Meaning this, you can now identify that God never created none of us to be afflicted, to be assaulted by the works of the devil through whatever means it came through. And so those of us that have it all, that all is well at the moment, you and I are called to be like divine healing technicians. We are walking epistle, walking healing technician, ministering to the sick, ministering to those that are diseased, ministering to those that may be dead, and raise them up again. Are you listening to what I'm saying? When you're filled with this Holy Ghost power, nothing will be impossible to him that believe. And last of all, notice that Jesus moved with compassion, and know that he did. He put forth his hand. You're not supposed to touch someone that's diseased like that. They try to have this thing about COVID. People not be have to be 6 feet in between and all this kind of crazy mess, or people cough or whatnot. Don't you know every germ that touched my body, it dies instantly? I'm immune from it. I'm immune from sickness, from diseases. I know that's a strong statement, but you see, again, it's not me giving you this confidence. It's the Christ in me. It's the anointing of the anointed one in me. It's if I don't use the faith, if I don't use the confidence that he gave me, that what he did for me, then I can never walk in what I just said. I'm not walking in what I'm saying because of me. I'm walking in what I'm saying because of what he's already done, and his life is in me. But he needs my body to do what? To help communicate to the world. People can't see Jesus, but through you and I. They can't experience the healing power of God, but through you and I. That's why you and I on the earth. That's why we're left here on the earth for this time, for this season, for this moment. And Jesus was demonstrating the Father's will, because it was never the Father's will for no one to be a leper, for no one to be have to live with AIDS, for no one to be anything that is afflicted that the devil has done. And Jesus was moved with compassion, the Bible said. Is that right? And he touched him, saying, I will, be thou cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy was departed from him, and he was cleansed. Man, I'm just saying, that's you and I. Oh my, that's you and I. Look, I love you. I thank God for you. But you can upload this podcast. This lesson will be on the podcast called Grace Institute Online Bible School. Go to your podcast, whether Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever. It's you can upload this lesson and share it with others, because I'm telling you, the body of Christ itself, we are the body of Christ, and guess what? We need encouragement. And we are the encouragers of one another. And so a lesson like this will encourage, it will exalt, and it will comfort them. Why? Because it is telling them who they are, not beating them down. Amen. And so I love you. I thank God for you. And as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. Love you now. We'll do it again tomorrow, God willing. Bye-bye, everyone.